Can video games save relationships? Hello and welcome to that co-op podcast where controller meets conversation. I'm Anna.
And I'm Ed. If you're tuning in on your favorite podcast app, don't forget that we've got a video version on YouTube at That Co-op Couple where we play games while we chat.
Today's episode is all about gaming as a couple, how video games brought us together, kept us together, and now play a huge role in our lives.
We'd love to hear about your experiences too. Let us know if you game with your partner. Drop us a comment and let us know. Let's get into it.
So today we are playing Minecraft. If you're joining us on our YouTube channel, so I'm just going to kind of outline our relationship, the start of our relationship, which started in 16, mm-hmm. when we were both at Penn State. I was there for my undergrad and Ed was there for grad school. And we started out as friends. We hung out a lot together with our pal Mike. Shout out Mike. And we were friends for a good year and a half before we started dating. And there was really, we didn't game at all.
I mean, who has time to when you're in school?
Right.
School was all about me writing papers.
Yep. We were big music nerds as well. We went to music school.
Yeah, shout out to that.
Shout out music school. So we really didn't play games. However, one of the first times that I went over to Ed's apartment, I noticed that he had Kingdom Hearts laying out. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. I like Kingdom Hearts. We talk more about Kingdom Hearts. We talk a lot about Kingdom Hearts in our first podcast episode. So if you haven't watched that, go and do that. It's one of our favorite games collectively. It was a huge part of our childhood. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I was like, whoa, that's really cool. And then I asked him what his favorite Kingdom Hearts world was, and he said Halloween Town, and that's also my favorite.
Which is the only correct answer.
Right. Unless you have a different one, then go ahead and drop that down below. But ours is Halloween Town, at least from the first one. I was like, oh my God. And granted, this was like still really early in our friendship relationship. Mm-hmm. But that was maybe like the first little thought planted in my brain.
Yeah. So remember, like, fellas, you can bag your baddie with Kingdom Hearts. Show her that Kingdom Hearts collection, boys.
That was maybe the first thought of like, oh, interesting. I'll put that in my back pocket. And then a year and a half later, it turned into a real life relationship.
A real life relationship.
It's in our house. But again, we still didn't really play video games because we were just busy being students and nerds. So we didn't game until we became long distance, which happened when I graduated in 2019 and moved to Columbus to pursue grad school. And then he moved to Virginia, where we are currently, to start real life.
To start the workforce for the rest of my days.
Yeah. Obviously, then shortly after that in 2020 is when COVID happened. So it was a very isolating time for everyone. And I lived alone. He lived with his parents. We weren't going out or anything.
It was kind of like a double long distance where like we really couldn't even just go visit each other.
Right, right.
I think I ended up driving to Columbus, what, like two times?
Yeah,
maybe two times.
Yeah. Two or three.
And even that, we were all like, ooh, this is really risky.
Yeah, it was like, obviously, shelter in place for like a week before. And then we just hung out in my very small apartment. And that, like, that was it. We also had to kind of figure out what we could play because I didn't have many consoles or anything like that. I had just recently got the Switch.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we played off of. We had to kind of just go off of online games that were on the Switch, which turns out not a lot of options.
Well, Nintendo's online services are not great in general.
Right. And especially then in 2020, 2019, it was even more limited than it is now. We started playing Mario Kart a lot, which we play on the channel still a lot. And it's one of our favorites. And that was really what started it, was we downloaded Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and played that all the time. It was like, it was such an easy game to sit down. It could be quick. Like we could literally just sit down and like play a couple rounds, or we could literally spend hours.
Yeah, just play for hours.
Playing and talking. Obviously the mini games were really big.
The balloon battles.
Yeah, balloon battles.
You love the battle mode in Kingdom Hearts. And Mario Kart.
Yeah.
You love the battle mode.
The battle modes are so fun. Obviously, you know, the Grand Prix or whatever are really fun. I enjoy those, but I thought it was so cool to have the battle modes because it just, you know, made it more interesting, but just like hours and hours of fun. We also did a lot of Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. obviously, when, you
everyone's
know,
COVID game.
Right. When things hit, that was our classic cozy game. Again, another one where we could just sit down.
Yeah, that was an easy one to just like, let's be honest, you don't do anything in Animal Crossing.
No.
You don't do anything at all. It was doing something, but also like we could just have a conversation.
Right.
We could just talk while there was just sort of something going on.
It was kind of sad now that I'm thinking about it, because it's like we were hanging out virtually because we could obviously long distance, but then COVID, like
that was our only way to hang out.
Yeah.
Was to do that.
That was the closest that we could be together. Yeah.
It was a very unfortunate lineup of events where we went long distance and then the world shut down.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, it meant that there was really no way for us to see each other except for, as dumb as it sounds, inside of a video game.
Right. And we did Skype. Like, we had video pulled up, or, like, mm-hmm. FaceTime pulled up, so we could actually see each other. But, yeah, I mean, that was, like, our little way of hanging out and, like, going over to each other's villages was, mm-hmm. like, hey, come over. We would play hide and seek in mm-hmm. Animal Crossing mm-hmm. and just, like, show off what we had built over the week and crafted and stuff like that. Which brings us to the next game, what we're playing now, Minecraft. But there's a theme of just, like, a cozy game that's not too stressful. There's not too much going on. Obviously, with Minecraft, like, it could get
stressful. We never played Minecraft the quote-unquote correct way.
No.
We've never played Minecraft to beat the game.
Right. I think we went to the end, was it called Ender World or whatever? Maybe
the end?
Five times. Time. So yeah, we like, died every time in, like, the first 3 minutes.
We literally just pulled up Minecraft as a way to, again, do something, build things, like just whatever random crap we wanted to build. It was a great way to shut our brains off from all the other garbage going on in the world.
Yeah.
And just do literally anything else but mm-hmm. be isolated from each other and everyone else.
But in that regard, it was collaborative. Not that Animal Crossing wasn't, but it was just kind of us hanging out.
Animal Crossing really isn't all that collaborative.
Right, right. You're just, again, we were just kind of there in each other's villages and hanging out. But for Minecraft, we were collaborating. Like, we had to work together to build a house. And again, we went on, like, little adventures and stuff like that. So we would make sure we were all stocked and ready for the adventure and just go out and explore. And so it was more than just walking around and kind of killing time. It was like, oh, let's turn this on. And today we're going to build the Ender portal or whatever it's called, or today we're gonna make a glass roof for our house, or a ginormous phallic statue in front of our house that we did end up building. I was tempted to pull up our old world for this recording, but we didn't, so maybe one day. But like for years I had the coordinates to our home on my phone. In my notes app.
We wrote things down in the notes app so we could always re-find our house.
Yeah, I'm not doing that now,
so I'll never find our home again.
Oh, whoops. Well, I mean, it might even be on my phone right now, but for years after, I had the coordinates to our house on my phone saved so we knew where to go. The next thing I want to talk about is A Way Out. I feel like not many people are talking about A Way Out, or I guess not anymore.
It's also a bit of an older game.
It's an older game now, but that is by Hazelight Studios. Is that their first game that they made, or is that, what
yes.
came first, It Takes Two or A Way Out?
A Way Out.
We actually never finished A Way Out. I do know how it ends, so I got it spoiled for me a little bit.
I also know how it ends.
Yeah.
So this is where our brains get a little different,
yeah.
depending on the situation, because I truly do not believe we ever played this in person. I think we strictly played it online.
But
you seem to think differently.
I know. I have some memory of us in your old apartment in Pennsylvania, of us on your crappy futon playing A Way Out. But maybe
I don't think that
happened. Maybe I just fabricated that in my mind. That was definitely not a game. I shouldn't say definitely, but for us at least, wasn't a game that we would sit down and have like meaningful conversations about.
Unless you can't, because you're paying attention to
the story. It was like a legit story and gameplay. I guess we can get into it now. I will say I wish it had more gameplay elements and not, it was more story based for sure. But yeah, definitely more involved than a Minecraft or an Animal Crossing type of game. But I really, really enjoyed that. And I hope to play that again on the channel at some point. I want to go on to Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Oh, what a game.
Oh my goodness. Have we played that on the channel?
We have played it. It was one of the very first things we did on the channel. Yes.
Okay. So I want to play it again because we haven't played it in a very long time. Probably since we put it up on the channel. Mm-hmm. It's such a good game.
I feel like one of the best co-op games ever, just because it's such a unique concept.
It's so cool, and it really worked long distance. It worked so well long distance because, if you're not familiar with the game, one person is defusing a bomb and with the controller, and then the other person has a manual. And
you have to go online to pull up like a PDF manual.
Yeah, it's literally a website that you download a PDF on, and you have to deliver instructions to the person with the controller. They can't see the instructions, so you have to verbally say what they have to do. So it's very cooperative, very collaborative, and incredibly frustrating, but
very stressful.
Yes,
but like in a fun way.
Oh yeah,
it's stressful in a fun way.
Yeah, and there's so many different levels and iterations of it and difficulties, because as you progress, they get harder and harder and more elements are added and things like that. So it truly is like there's hours and hours and hours worth of gameplay, things
it's
like that.
It's a good thing because like you're not supposed to be looking at the other person's screen.
Yeah.
So like you can do it. It might be the most perfect long distance game because you can't look at the other person's screen. I can only read the manual and you see the screen and you have to solve the problem.
Yeah. So when we were playing it on the channel and when we played it off the channel, but when we were doing it couch co-op, you had to like, whoever had the manual, you had to turn around or like make sure they weren't looking, because it could be easy to see the instructions and things like that. And then that just kind of ruins it. So yeah, it actually worked better long distance, which I think does not apply to any of the other games that we're going to talk about.
Probably
where it's
not.
Like it truly feels like it was made to be
a long played distance long game. Distance. Yes, yeah, I agree.
Long distance really shaped. It is kind of probably the reason why we ended up starting the channel.
Well, and I'll pose this question to you because I have my opinions, but like, how successful do you think our relationship would have been if we hadn't played video, like if one of us wasn't a gamer and that was not something that we did, how successful do you think that long distance relationship would have been?
I think it still would have been successful, but it wouldn't have been as fun. Like we, like I said, I think I said this, maybe not. We would either play video games or we would watch a movie when we were doing long distance stuff. So I think we would have had like a movie channel. I don't know. We would have been cinephiles or something like that. But no, we just would have watched like a ton of movies or like shows or something like that. I don't know. It just would have been different.
Because when we were planning this episode and I really sat down to think about it, I do firmly believe that our long distance relationship would have worked without video games if we had an already other established interest. Shared interest.
Other than what like our professions are.
And you alluded and to what it. We're to like, for. We're like, we like watching movies.
Yeah.
But neither one of us are cinephiles.
Right.
You know, we like watching TV shows, but neither one of us are really like really, really big on TV shows.
Yeah.
We had a shared interest of video games. So when it was time for us to be long distance and time for us to find things to do,
it just made sense.
It was like, yeah, this is clearly the correct answer.
Yeah.
This is clearly what we need to do to help keep each other entertained and help us stay together. On the one hand, I don't think video games were the reason we succeeded in the relationship, but it was 100% a reason why it became easier to do.
Yeah.
It made the long distance relationship feel significantly easier.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And actually, now that you're saying all of that, I'm thinking of like what our lives now would look like without video games. Because obviously, I mean, we have a channel now, and that is a huge thing.
And it's crazy to think about, like, if I didn't play video games, would that first connection have been made?
Right. Because in the first episode of our podcast, I make it very clear, I'm not really a gamer. Like I talked about all the games that I played, but I'm more of a watcher of video games, which is why I don't have the controller in my hands. I enjoy watching. I enjoy consuming video game content, but not necessarily playing them. I do enjoy obviously playing video games, but it's more natural for me to just like sit down and watch someone play.
Yeah.
So if Ed hadn't been so into video games already, yeah, I probably wouldn't have, like, probably wouldn't have gone past, like, the Switch, honestly.
And you know, like, all of that is to say, if you have that interest, share it with your partner.
Yes.
Even if your partner is not really a gamer, there are games out there for you guys to play.
Absolutely.
There's something out there for you.
And I think a lot of the games that we're going to talk about today are friendly for everyone.
But find a way to use that as a connection, especially if you are long distance, because that's a tough situation to find yourself in.
It is. Yeah. Now that we're living together, we could play couch co-op games. So we started playing Overcooked, which is another game that I think is so fun for people. Yes, so fun for people who are not necessarily like quote unquote gamers. It's just a fun game. It's crazy, it's chaotic, it's stressful, but you genuinely have to communicate. You are forced to work together, and if you don't communicate well, you're gonna epically fail and just not get anywhere. Another honorable mention that was a recent one, kind of, that we ended up playing was Moving Out, which is the same creators.
Concept, basically.
Yeah, same creator, same concept, pretty much. Instead of cooking, you're just moving things, furniture, but you have to work together and things like that. So that's super, super fun. Mario Party. We could finally play Mario Party when we moved in together, because why did it take so long for Mario Party to become online? Why? And it was after we moved in together.
I'm pretty sure it's only Mario Party Jamboree, the most recent one, where you can play online with friends.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because it would have been such a good game.
Nintendo's online services are not good.
I know.
They're not good at the whole online thing.
Yeah. It would have been such a great, I mean, it is a great game to play online, but it would have been so nice to have that as a long distance couple. But we had that when we moved in. So Mario Party, obviously, like, that's easily hours of gameplay. One round alone could be at least an hour. And that, again, is something that you could easily like talk through and have real life conversations. So the mini games obviously are, I think, the biggest draw to that game.
And I do think, was it Mario Party Superstars or the other Mario Party that's on Switch did allow you to do mini games online? But the connection was always so
bad. Yeah. It's definitely one of those games where, same with Overcooked, where it could like make or break a relationship potentially, or at least maybe not that extreme, but it could cause some friction, if you will.
Well, because at its core, it's a board game.
Yes.
It's a board game, which means you're relying solely on dice rolls for success or failure.
Yep.
Which is fun, right? You have that randomness of a board game. That's how board games are played, but you in particular have a history of just somehow always failing.
I have the worst luck with Mario Party, or really any luck-based game, but definitely Mario Party. I just get screwed over so hard. And it's just so there was a point where we did not play Mario Party, because it's just, it was so brutal to the point where it just wasn't fun anymore.
You literally were raging to the point where you were ready to walk away.
Right, because it was like, how is this fun anymore? If by round two, I'm already just doomed.
It was fun.
And there's no, well, of course it's funny to you. Moving on, I have some honorable mentions before we get into like the real co-op side of things. Honorable mentions, Snipper Clips. We played that. Technically, I think that was long distance, but it was when we were together, because it's not online.
I'll tell you exactly the very first time we played that game together. Okay. It was at your parents' house.
At my parents' house, But I think that was during...
I think we were long... You had gone home and I went up there to,
yeah,
to visit.
Yeah, I think it was like a winter break situation. But yeah, that is not an online game. It's a couch co-op game. But Snipperclips is super cute. It's for the Switch. Yeah, it's just a little puzzle game. You're two little shapes and you have to like cut each other out to make... To get like, I don't know. There's different levels and things like that. Like get a ball from one side of the screen to the other with cutting shapes and stuff. I don't know. It's just cute. It's fun. That also got a little frustrating too because you have to communicate, and that didn't always plan out. But very, very fun. The next one I have as honorable mention, Golf with Friends. That is on the channel. One of the first things that we played on the channel. That's super, super basic, super easy. That's on the Switch.
And again, another really easy game to just pick up. It's mini golf. Like if you know how mini golf works, you can play that game.
Right.
You can add different.
You're literally using the joystick to aim and then pressing A to putt. It's super easy peasy, but it's just fun. It's cute. Another one. Oh, this is also on the channel. Stick Fight game.
Stick Fight is great.
Yeah,
it is addicting and it's fun and it's so
super
fast
easy.
Paced.
Yeah,
fast paced. It's one of those games where like you can be like fun ragey.
Yeah,
like you can yell at the like you're not yelling at each other. You're yelling at the game. Like you're getting frustrated at the game because there would be moments where we played that where. You would go on a streak of like just dozens of wins in a row.
Yep.
And it was just for the most random reasons. Like,
because it's just button mashing.
Oh,
really.
It's just button
mashing.
It's
true. Those are my kind of games where there's really no skill.
There
or
is
lock
no
involved.
Strategy.
You're just
to
mashing
fight.
Buttons.
Yeah.
I love it. So that's a really fun one. And the music is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Again, we have that on our channel. If you want to go check that one out. Oh, Brett and Fred. We had that on our channel. I put that as an honorable mention because it was, the concept is fun. We just got a little it is a fun game. I think it was just too hard for our dumb brains.
I would play it again.
Yeah, no, I would too.
I would play it again.
Things that really, really require focus and communication and collaboration could easily become frustrating.
Yeah.
After a long day of teaching, because we're both teachers, some of these games are not the best to play at the end of a long day.
You just want to be calm.
Yeah. And then it can like easily get very stressful. It's fun stress. It's obviously, you know, very low stakes, but it's still a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think, one of the games that got a little too real in the frustration. We were just like tired and it got
kid
and we got like genuinely
right in front of me and I almost killed this
too
child.
Frustrated at times so we took a break from that, but it is a fun game. I really like it. It's cute little like pixelated 8-bit art, which is cute. I can't remember, I have this in my notes, I can't remember if this is online or not or both, but Portal 2.
I believe Portal 2 can be played online. Don't hold me to that, but I think so.
One of the best games ever.
Oh, easily. People will say that forever, yes.
Yeah. So if you haven't played...
Maybe the best co-op game ever made.
And another one where communication is key. So there's, you know, definitely times where it can be a little frustrating and you can mess with your partner. That definitely happened multiple times, but that's what, you know, that's what makes it fun. So Portal 2 for sure. And It Takes Two.
Oh, It Takes Two is just a phenomenal game.
Yeah. I think I saved these last two for last because there's a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. At least for the ones that we played, It Takes Two is probably the best co-op game. I'm kind of hesitant to talk like too much about it because it's a very popular game, so I don't want to, you know, say things that everyone else knows. But if like the three people who might not know anything about It Takes Two, it is gorgeous. It's the storyline is insane.
Very dark.
It's so real. It's about a married couple, which is why I think it works so well. Because the next one that I kind of want to talk about these both at the same time. Split Fiction. It Takes Two, Split Fiction, both by Hazelight Studios. Obviously, Split Fiction just came out recently. Mm-hmm. And I think what makes... I mean, there's a lot of things. But one of the things that really stood out between It Takes Two and Split Fiction and why I think It Takes Two works way better is because It Takes Two is about a married couple. And the whole point of the story is having them work out their differences. But it's like a really heavy story. And you, the whole point of the game is to collaborate and work with each other and communicate. And the better you do that, the better your gameplay is. Whereas Split Fiction, they're just like two strangers who happen to become friends mm-hmm. in the end. And it's just not that, you know, deep of a story.
It doesn't feel like there's as much stake involved in Split Fiction.
It's super low stakes. Like
the stake involved in It Takes Two is literally like
there's a child
your relationship and your child needing years of therapy.
Yeah. I mean, that like alone without a video game involved, that's already a crazy deep story.
Yeah.
And then making it a video game was just like a wild thing, but it worked so well. And yeah, Split Fiction just was like, oh, these are two friends or two people who just randomly met and they don't like each other. They're not compatible, but work together to save something. I don't know. It just wasn't as deep. But It Takes Two, oh my God. The other thing that worked really well was that it was equal. It was very equal for, I would say, most of the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's my biggest criticism of Split Fiction.
Yeah.
Is that it is not an equal experience at all. I mean, I shouldn't say at all, but one character most definitely has most of the work to do in that game.
Yep.
There's nothing.
It's not even close.
There's nothing equal about it.
No.
It's maybe at best a 60-40 split, probably closer to like a 70-30. And so if you pick the wrong character at the start of the game, like I did, you will find that you have way less to do. And I just like, that's not what the game was supposed to be.
Right.
I wonder how that got past like a quality control of some kind.
But I feel like that's such a common thing in co-op games. Mm-hmm. And it just is, it's, I don't know. I don't know how that, yeah, like you said, how that passes. Because it's just not co-op at that point.
It's like not co-op. Yeah, well, it's
co-op, but it's co-op, not,
but it's not equal.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
It's still co-op. But there's not an equal opportunity involved.
Right. And that's no fun if you're on the other side of the stick. Whereas, like I said, It Takes Two, I think, did that so beautifully. So the storyline is incredible. The gameplay is incredible. It varies a lot, which Split Fiction also had. I feel like it didn't do quite as much.
I think it did. I think really? That's where Split Fiction shined.
Okay.
Was its variable gameplay.
Okay. I mean, there definitely was. We haven't played It Takes Two in a very long time, but that's another one I want to play again on the channel because we did it without our faces when we first started our YouTube channel. So I definitely want to try that again. I will say, gorgeous game. Really, really beautiful. Both It Takes Two and Split Fiction are, I mean, they're different styles, but both really gorgeous games. And I thought for a co-op game like that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that really doesn't happen for co-op games. A Way Out, It Takes Two, Split Fiction, it feels like a real video game, if that makes sense. Well, it's not just like a Mario co-op game.
It doesn't happen because it doesn't happen. Right. Like, Hazelight Studios is probably the only company right now making games specifically designed to be played co-op.
That look like that.
That like are meant to be played with two people. And yes, you can play It Takes Two and Split Fiction by yourself. The game just controls the other character. But no one else is really making games designed specifically for the purpose of playing with somebody else.
Yeah.
There are plenty of games out there that have co-op modes, and there are plenty of games out there that have, you know, ways where you can play with multiple people if you're willing to be a little creative, or like Mario, where you're just platforming together. But Hazelight is the only one saying, here is a game that was specifically designed to be made for two people.
Yeah.
And that's just not something that happens anymore.
Shout out Hazelight.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing good work over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you're not a gamer, It Takes Two is still a really, really fun game.
There will be a learning curve.
I was going to say that one, and Split Fiction even more so. It is a learning curve for sure. It's not necessarily like a pick up and go Mario or Overcooked type of game. It is a very like well-developed game. I'm not gonna say like, oh, you have to be an experienced gamer to play these games, but definitely like it's not as easy to sit down and do, which again is like another thing it's not something you could sit down and just talk about your day over, at least not for us. But it was because the game or the storyline was so convoluted and interesting, at least for It Takes Two. Not so much for Split Fiction, in my opinion. But the storyline was so well developed that you really didn't need to have any of that extra stuff. It wasn't like a cozy sit-down game. It was like actually involved. So if you're looking for something that's something you could just throw on and pick up whenever, maybe not start with It Takes Two, but it genuinely is probably the best, in my opinion, the best co-op game that you could play. Definitely with a cup with like your significant other for sure. Obviously you can play it with, you know, a friend or whatever, but I think It Takes Two specifically is a great game for couples.
Just be prepared that if you're going to play it with your friend to like smooch your friend at the end of the game, smooch your friend. You'll be smooching.
Oh yeah.
You'll be smooching. There will be smooching.
For sure. For sure. So that kind of wraps up the game portion summary of all the games that we enjoy playing as a couple. But I kind of want to delve into just, and we talked a little bit about this already, but what makes a good co-op game? What
do we know, before we do that, I'm going to have to stop you there for a little breaking gaming news.
Oh my gosh.
We like to add a segment into our podcast where we recap some of the gaming news from the last couple of weeks that we haven't had an episode. There have been some good stuff, not a whole lot of stuff as the last episode, but some big releases over the last week or so.
Yeah,
Metal Gear Solid Delta, which I believe is a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, released last week, August 28th, for PC. PS5, Xbox, and PC. Reviews are generally favorable, with many applauding the updated graphics but criticizing the game's controls and stealth difficulties. But if you're a fan of the Metal Gear Solid series, this is definitely something worth checking out. Everybody online knows that Hollow Knight Silksong has finally released as of yesterday of our filming this, September 4th. One of the most anticipated games of the last several years will only cost you $20, which is insane. And even more important than that, the Switch 2 version costs exactly the same as the Switch 1 version, which is not something a lot of other companies are doing, because indie devs actually care about you. And if you're holding off on getting a Switch 2 and you still have a Switch 1, pick up Silksong anyway, because when you do eventually get that Switch 2, you'll be able to upgrade to the Switch 2 enhanced graphics for free.
Oh,
again, because indie devs care about you and not just about the profits.
Shout out
NBA 2K26 has also been released on all major platforms. But be careful, Nintendo players, it's only on the Switch 2.
Oof.
If you're a fan of the popular sports game franchise, pay-to-win microtransactions, and playing the same game every year with slightly better sweat graphics, be sure to pick this game up. I stopped playing NBA 2K in like 2019.
Wow.
And it's still the same game, so it's okay. I'm not missing anything at all. All.
But the sweat graphics.
Yes, but the sweat graphics. Upcoming releases you may be excited about include Borderlands 4 on September 12th for the PlayStation 5, Xbox, and PC. NHL 26 also September 12th for the PS5 and Xbox. Lego Voyagers, which is something we're both really excited about, releasing on September 15th for the PS5, Xbox, and PC. We're really curious about this game because it's a co-op Lego game.
We love both those things.
So we're really going to be looking forward to checking that one out here pretty soon in just a couple of weeks. And some other fun gaming related news. Amazon is producing a Life is Strange TV show.
Oh, I saw that.
Their intention to do this was announced like a decade ago. They told us a long time ago they were going to do this, and now they're finally actually starting production. So stay tuned for, I don't know, maybe 10 more years. We'll finally have the show. And the popular online multiplayer game Marvel Rivals has announced that they will be making a version for the PS4 for anyone who still has not upgraded to a PS5. And let me be clear, as somebody who owns a PS5, you're not missing much. But that's really it for all the major gaming news. There's not a whole lot going on. I feel like September's kind of a quiet time. A lot more stuff is probably going to head our way come like October, November, because places or companies are going to be gearing up for the holidays.
Yeah.
They're going to want to get that Christmas money off of your parents. So I'm sure there will be some other really big releases to worry about come next month, Thanksgiving time, that sort of thing. I already know one that's getting ready to come up that we'll talk about a lot later. But that does it for all the gaming news for this episode.
Yeah, so let's go back to what makes a good co-op game. What do we want to see?
I have some very strong opinions
about this. Okay, well, go for it.
I have some very strong opinions about this. The first and most important part of what makes a good co-op game is that you have to have equal roles in the game.
Yeah.
And I've already said it, but that was my biggest criticism of Split Fiction. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not a good game. It was a fun game. Not that it wasn't a good story. I thought it was a good story. Was it the best story ever created? No. The writing was a little off. The script was a little off. There were times the voice acting was really good, but there were times where like good voice acting can't save a bad script.
Right.
Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
It was not an equal experience.
Yeah.
But we can talk, we've already talked about that.
Right, and especially coming off of It Takes Two, which again, we talked about.
But which it was really just, felt like a true equal experience.
Yes, so Split Fiction was just kind of, it was so highlighted that it was not equal because of, we went into it with the expectation of It Takes Two, where it was very equal.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
is Split Fiction a co-op game? Yes.
Absolutely.
Is it a great co-op game? I know there's a lot of people who are going to, I'm sure it's going to be nominated for Game of the
Year.
Again,
compared to It Takes Two, no.
It's not, it is not It Takes Two.
Right.
And unfortunately, you have to compare it to It Takes Two because it's the same company. You have no choice. But anyway, equal roles. Mm-hmm. And other games that I think about when I thought about this topic was Super Mario Odyssey and DK Bonanza.
Yes.
Games that advertise that they have a way that you can play co-op. But reality is whoever player two is, does nothing. Mm-hmm. Really doesn't do anything to add to the experience of the game.
That's so true.
And I was quoting it to you where like, those games were made to feel like your mom is screaming at you to let your little brother play the game.
Yeah.
So you hand them a controller.
To shut them
and
up.
Your little brother gets to be Cappy or Pauline and DK
and
Bonanza.
Scream.
And it almost, in a way, detracts from the experience of the game because you just said it. Pauline's only job in the game is to scream.
Yeah.
Which means the entire time your player two plays the game, it is just an onslaught of sound. And it's so annoying. And it's like, how did anyone think that was a good co-op game?
Yeah.
Pauline doesn't add anything to it. She actually makes the game worse.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing single player, Pauline doesn't scream every 2 seconds.
Is that a hot take? I don't know.
Well, my big DK Bonanza hot take is I got bored with the game and I don't care to finish it.
I was going
to
say, we played, a couple episodes on the channel and I was like, okay, yep, don't need to. Because I was playing Pauline and all I did, and I did say before, I love a button mashing game. Mm-hmm. But that's literally all
that's
I
all
did.
It was.
I just was pressing A and
that's all kind of DK Bonanza was in general.
Yeah.
I could just mash buttons. But anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to have equal roles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why It Takes Two felt so good, was it really felt like it took both of us to finish that game. Mm-hmm. There was never a moment when I was like, oh, I can sit back and just let you do all the work.
Yep.
That's fine. I don't need to do this. There was always something for both of us to be doing at all times. Mm-hmm. And then a good co-op game, similarly, requires communication.
Yeah, and collaboration.
If you play the game silently, it's not really a co-op game.
Right.
Right. If you can sit here and play the game in complete silence without interacting with your partner, it's not cooperative.
Yeah.
There's nothing cooperative about that.
Like Overcooked and those kinds of games worked so well because you have to communicate. Otherwise, it's it's not going to be fun. No one's going to know what to do. It's truly a game about collaboration and communication. Mm-hmm.
And is there a way for you to maybe, collaborate? Yes. But is there a way for you to like influence your partner's gameplay? And something that I was thinking about that was like when we played Portal 2, we had those really funny moments where I could shut a portal down and kill you in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Or even in It Takes Two, you can attack each other. Split Fiction, you can attack each other.
Yep.
There's opportunities for you to
mess with the other. Yeah.
In the game, yep. And not necessarily feel like you have to be successful all the time.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to like pull a prank on your partner in the middle of the game or something along those lines. It's collaborative or has an opportunity for you to influence mm-hmm. the gameplay for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I would also say we have here supports all modes of co-op.
Oh,
gaming.
This is my hottest of hot takes. Oh, my God.
Go
this
off.
This one really, really, really grinds my gears in 2025, the year of our Lord 2025, where, yes, the internet exists. It is a phenomenal thing. If you're making a co-op game that you want to be online, it should be.
Yeah.
It should be online. It should also be playable offline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of development companies, a lot of game developers, a lot of publishers have kind of seen couch co-op as this thing that's disappeared since the internet has become such a strong part of everybody's life that they're like, oh, it doesn't need to be couch co-op because someone can just play online.
Yeah.
You know what playing online requires more often than not? You and your friend to each own a copy of the game.
Right.
Online multiplayer, online
Which
co-op.
Which is another reason why they push it, because then that means more money.
Online co-op, kids, is a scam for the development for the publishers to make more money off of you.
Hot take.
And what I will say that Hazelight and some other games do because of that is if you get a game that has like a friend pass where you only need one copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the games that understand that. Shout out to the games that understand that maybe you would like to play with someone that can't afford a second copy of the game, or to the fact that like we're married.
Right.
And we live in the same house. We shouldn't have to buy the same game twice.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So support split screen co-op. If you're going to have online, you can have split screen.
Yeah.
I just feel like so many publishing companies feel like it's not necessary. And I bet a lot of other people feel like it's not necessary. But because we live in that world and like I see social media posts about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, targeted media about it, there are thousands of people in the world that are begging for more couch co-op
Absolutely.
Games. And I think maybe we're on like a little bit of a resurgence. It's maybe making a small little comeback, maybe because of how successful It Takes Two and games like that were. But one of the games that comes to mind now, it's a fairly new game. It's called Peak. And if you haven't seen the gameplay for it, go watch it. I mean, it's hilarious. It's fun. I would love to sit down with my wife and play that game if we both didn't have to be online to play that game.
Yeah.
I want to be in the same room with my wife, sitting down on the couch if we're not going to record it for the channel or whatever, playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we? And this my all-time biggest hot take when it comes to co-op games. If you're not making your co-op game both local split-screen couch co-op and online co-op, you are not making a proper multiplayer co-op game.
Whoa.
You're not. You're just not. And I will die by that opinion.
Mic drop.
You may have made the greatest
There's
game in the
world.
There's
the clip.
You might have made the greatest game in the world, but it's never going to be exactly... It's never going to be what it could have been. You could have a phenomenal game. Peak looks like it is a fantastically funny game.
And we both see every time it pops up on our feeds, we're like, oh, that looks so fun.
We watch clips. We laugh. We're literally laughing our heads off. It's like, man, it would be so cool. Yes, we could both download the game and play online. I'm not giving a development studio twice as much money for a game when we live in the same house together.
Yeah.
They forget about the people who live in the same houses in favor of the people who are next door neighbors and just don't want to leave their houses.
And I think it's becoming a bigger thing where couples are both gaming together and gaming like in the same room, but separately, if that makes sense. Like they're playing different things. That's becoming such a big thing that now our generation has grown up and, you know, we're married and things like that.
I think like the stigma around women playing video games is gone. Or like this idea that adults can't play video games is gone. Game developers,
do
split
better.
Split screen co-op.
do better.
Like, if you're already going to make a multiplayer game, code it into the game.
Yeah.
You will make so many people happy. Mm-hmm. You will make so many people happy. I will buy all of your games. Mm-hmm. Because that's what a game should be. It should be able to be experienced by everyone.
Accessible.
How they choose to experience it.
Yeah.
There are games out there that are just not like that.
Yeah.
And you will never have a phenomenal co-op game if you don't do that. You might have a great game. You might have a really good game. You will never, ever have as good a game as you could. Wow. And that is my hot take. I will stand by that. That gets me so frustrated when I see a game online. It's like, oh, I can't wait to play this. Oh, it's online only. Even with the capabilities for us to play online, as soon as I see it's online only, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're isolating people. Yep. And screw all it's the game developers who grab. Do that. Mm-hmm. Screw all the game developers who do that. Stop isolating people. Anyway.
To follow that up, we're still talking about what makes a good co-op game. So that's a big one. A little less of a hot take, it's kind of a two thing. Easy to pick up, mm-hmm. But there's depth. Mm-hmm. And also short gameplay with less commitment.
That's also a huge one. We're like a game like Overcooked where...
Yes.
You can sit down and do one level and mm-hmm. walk away mm-hmm. and feel good. You know, you're picking up a game after work together and you're both really tired. We're going to knock out this one level and we're going to bed.
Yep.
Cool.
Exactly.
Or you can sit down for 8 hours and play the game if you want.
Right.
And you get the same experience.
Yeah.
You're sharing a moment with whoever you're playing that game with. Mm-hmm. You're getting that shareable moment.
Yeah. And we talked about like It Takes Two and Split Fiction are not necessarily those types of games.
No, and again, a spot where Overcooked really excels as that like prime co-op game.
Yes.
Where if you're playing It Takes Two, you'll get stuck in the middle of a chapter that you got to finish.
Right.
Or get to a spot where it saves, a checkpoint or something. Mm-hmm. And that could take a little while.
Yeah. Or because there's an actual storyline that progresses, mm-hmm. if you all of a sudden, like, life gets in the way and you get really busy and you're, you know, you're gone for weeks on end and you can't game, then you're like, oh, well, now I kind of forget what happened mm-hmm. while I was gone and mm-hmm. like now I have to go back or whatever.
You pick up Overcooked and it's just like, yeah, the level I'm about to play is going to be harder than what I just did.
Right.
But I generally know what I need to do to play this game again.
Yep. Or it's very easy to get back into it. Be like, mm-hmm. oh yeah. Okay. I played one round. Now we can let's go.
Yep.
So definitely that aspect to it. Difficulty scaling with party size. This was something that you had down on the list.
It's something that I think most co-op games like an Overcooked does.
Yeah.
It's not a unique concept to any one game. It's not a very new concept. Just the simple idea that if you're going to play a game with four people, the game should scale in difficulty or in the number of tasks you have to complete so the four people feel necessary.
Agreed.
If the game stays the same way as it would be if you were playing by yourself and four people are doing it, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you've got too easy of a game.
Yeah, it's back to the equal.
Or you've got someone standing around doing nothing. You know, Overcooked will scale and give you more tasks to do. Or I'm sure Moving Out might do a similar thing.
Sure, yeah.
Games that require more out of more people. Mm-hmm. I think that's super important. Mm-hmm. Difficulty scaling.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last thing that I have, which we already talked about, so I'll just kind of throw it out at the very end, gameplay variety, which I think mm-hmm. It Takes Two and Split Fiction do so well. Mm-hmm. Same with...
and that's their bread and butter.
Right, right. And same with, I think they do it the best mm-hmm. with co-op games, mm-hmm. but same with Mario Party, the Super Mario, or not Mario Party, sorry, Super Mario Bros. Mm-hmm. There were different gameplay options, variations. It didn't happen as frequently, but it definitely, there when something changed, that there was that moment of like, whoa, that's so cool.
Golden chicken.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, I don't know.
It's a dead golden chicken. Now.
But there was that moment of like, whoa, we're shadows now, or we're blobs now, or mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it changed it up and made it more interesting.
Things
than
kept getting unique. There was always something new being presented to
you. And It Takes Two, Split Fiction do that so well.
And because, again, on the opposite, because we've talked about it, something where Overcooked doesn't do quite as well, because you know what to, in every Overcooked level, you kind of know what to expect.
It's the same buttons. It's the same, you know, you're moving around, same concept. Obviously, it gets harder, but same concept. Whereas, like, Split Fiction, there are times I feel, you know, those videos have gone viral, but like there have been times where the screen, you can go into each other's split screen. Like it's crazy gameplay that just hasn't been done before, or at least not to that
and
level.
It keeps you excited. It keeps you wanting to see what comes next.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, and it wasn't just like a couple of times. It was multiple times throughout each different world, different level. It was, it changed a lot. And that was really what was so, what I think makes those games so popular, because they're just so innovative and creative with that kind of style. Hats off to those guys. I want to end it out, because we talked a lot about all these things, of the games that you need to play as a couple. That really, I think, and we...
If you're going to start somewhere playing a video game with somebody for the first time.
Yeah.
Here are the games that you need to check out.
Yeah, especially as a couple. Obviously, again, the caveat is you could play these with anyone, with your mom, with your friend, with whoever. But as a couple, I think these are really, really spectacular games.
Play with your mom, I dare you.
And that is, obviously, It Takes Two. We talked about that.
It is, it's the ultimate couple game.
It absolutely.
Because it's about a couple.
Yes, yes.
You will learn a lot about your partner playing that game based on how they react to things, the darkness of the story. You will see your partner's true personality come out in that game.
It's a really beautiful game in general, but then also like specifically for a couple. Second pick, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. For sure, because of the reasons, you know, we said earlier, that it's truly made for like a long distance thing, like gameplay.
I think it is the game that requires the absolute most and most precise communication.
Yes.
Under like a stressful situation. And we're not going to pretend like playing a video game presents any sort of like real world stressful situations, right? Like at some point you and your partner are going to have to sit down and have a real conversation about real life stuff. But could this game be a place to start learning how to do that? Because I wrote this down too when I was thinking about this. We've talked about this before, and people out there listening will sort of know what I'm talking about. We're like, back in elementary school, did you ever have to do like the peanut butter and jelly thing?
Oh yeah.
Where you had to
describe,
you had to write down and describe step by step how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to somebody.
And like the teacher would take it so literally, and it was like, put it on the sandwich, and they'd like put their hand in the peanut butter.
Inevitably you realized how much you were leaving out because you thought it was so intuitive.
Yep.
You never told your teacher to grab a knife and put the knife in the peanut butter jar to get the peanut butter out. You just told her to take peanut butter and put it on bread, you know? And I think that's what Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes does so well.
For
is
sure.
It's so easy to leave out a detail.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, that wire was striped, or oh, you have to find a serial number on the bomb, or is there an odd number of batteries? Like the amount of detail that has to go into that communication, I think is a really good sort of stepping stone towards the amount of real world detail that has to go into a conversation with your partner.
Yep. It same with It Takes Two. It requires you to learn about each other, but then also about yourself, because if
how you communicate, how your partner communicates,
if you're like,
how
oh.
you listen and receive information, how your partner listens and receives information, because the game becomes so different if I'm reading the manual to you.
Oh yeah.
Or if you're reading the manual to me.
That's the other thing. We didn't even talk about that. It can be a completely
different game
depending on who's playing.
It's a completely different game based
on, incredible.
On who's doing what role.
Yeah.
I think Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes
super
might
underrated.
Be the place to start for co-op gaming.
Super underrated. Incredible game. I actually, now I want to play it tonight. So for those reasons, I think it's definitely up there. And then lastly, I don't feel as strongly as I do for this one as I did the other ones, but Overcooked. We've mentioned it a ton
Overcooked
in this
episode. Overcooked is a phenomenal co-op.
Yes, and because it kind of combines all those things, right? There's communication. You have to be a good communicator for it to be successful. So you're learning how to work with your partner, but then learning that, oh, I can't receive verbal instructions well, or like I can't give verbal
and at the same time where you learn as part of a real relationship how to delegate roles to each other.
Yeah.
How to like, okay, I'm going to be over here doing this thing while you're over here doing this thing. We can put it together and have a final product.
Yep.
Or like being able to pick up the slack for somebody if somebody in the game gets overwhelmed. Or, you know, I mean, there's really a whole lot of real world implications to these games if you want to find them.
Yes.
Because sorry to anyone out there who believes this, but relationships are not 50-50.
Correct.
Very rarely.
It can be, right. It can be, but most of the time.
But most of the time, you are going to have to find opportunities to pick up the slack for your partner. Mm-hmm. And you are going to have to be able to rely on your partner to pick up the slack for you.
Yep.
You may only be able to give 30% to the relationship one day, but then the next day, you're the one that can give the 70% to the relationship. And I think that's something where Overcooked really shines is, yes, you each have your role, but at some point things are going to get so overwhelming in that game mm-hmm. where it's like, I have to come over and help you do this
yep.
or we're screwed.
Yep.
I have to be able to do a little bit of your job and my job.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do a little bit of this job and that job. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful in trying to figure out how you would react to those things in the real world. Yeah. And it's something in general that I don't think people give video games enough credit for. Is the real learning experience that yep. you can get from it.
Yep.
And the learning experience that you can get from each other. I do firmly believe playing video games has made us stronger as a couple.
Absolutely, yeah.
I firmly believe that. We have learned how to communicate to each other. We have learned how to be frustrated at each other. But we've also learned how to get over that frustration.
Yeah.
We've learned how to be upset. Be upset for a little while and then put on our big boy and girl panties and get over it and move on with our lives. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to, that's not something that just happens.
Right.
You have to learn how to do that.
And at the end of the day,
whoever.
Because it's a video game, we can just get up and leave and walk
There's
away.
There's no real
the
world consequence.
Game. Right.
If you're getting frustrated, you turn the game off, you walk away and you try again later.
Right. Whereas like in real life, stressful situations.
You can't turn your kid off, walk away and come back to it later.
Yeah. But because we've had those similar situations in video game form, we're like, oh, okay, so this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We need to, we've done this, but we've been here in a similar situation before, but now it's elevated and
real. This is how you receive information.
Yes.
So now I can. This is how I can communicate that information.
Yeah. Which is why, again, going back to why we need more couch co-op games, because yes, you can have that online, but to have that real life interaction is so important. For obviously for like the gameplay mechanics of it, but just in terms of like relationships, whether mm-hmm. you're a couple mm-hmm. or friends or mm-hmm. whoever, like it's so, so important for just the bonding experience, the experience in general.
Yep.
So we really need to bring that back, which is why I want to just leave out before we close it up. We want to see more of those types of games. We want to see more It Takes Two. We want to see more Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes, more Overcooked, because those are the games that work well. Mm-hmm. They have either all of these aspects that we talked about or a lot of them that are collaborative, they're equal, they can help a relationship regardless of, you know, whether it's a romantic relationship or, you know, whatever.
Bingo.
That's what we need more of for sure.
Yeah.
In this world.
Let a video game try to repair a relationship with you and family.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. And I bet there's experiences out there of people doing just that.
For sure.
But yeah. How much more powerful that is when you can sit down next to somebody and not just do it like across the world from each other. It is incredible that you can do it across the world.
Right.
Don't ever stop doing that either, because that's your pen pal. That's your way of staying in contact with people. But why not make it local too?
It's a balance.
Find
just
that
like
balance.
Relationships. Wow.
My
Look
job.
At us. Look at us. Well,
full circle.
I think we're going to wrap it up there on this episode of That Co-op Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our conversation about gaming as a couple.
If you liked hanging out with us, hit that follow or subscribe button and like the video if you're with us on YouTube. Every bit of support helps more people find the show.
We will be back in 2 weeks on September 22nd with episode 3, where we react to video game disaster
I'm so
stories.
Excited.
I am so excited about this episode. If you have one that you would like to share, if you have some kind of disaster story that you would like to share with us, DM us on social media or leave us a comment on this YouTube video and we might react to yours.
I want to hear your disaster
yes,
stories.
Please. All right.
Thanks for gaming with us.
Bye.
Bye.